Now today, we're going to look at a whole chapter. It's a very lengthy chapter. It's Acts chapter 10. There are 48 verses in the chapter. What I would ask of all my listeners is this, that sometime you will sit down and read through the whole chapter. I'm not going to read it to you now on this broadcast. I'm going to make reference to the things in the chapter and we'll read some of the verses. But I would ask that you would take time to read the chapter at home and see if these things are so. Now may I suggest that in this chapter we have again related to us, as it were, or set before us the purposes of God. And then you will note the preparation of the men, two men, one by the name of Cornelius and the other by the name of Peter. Then that leads you on to the vital part of the chapter, the close of the chapter, where you have the preaching of the message. Now in dealing with the purposes of God, let me say this. The grace of God toward all men was about to have another and yet more conclusive formal seal. The Apostle Peter, who was the grand messenger to the Jews, must now openly act on the grand principle of Christianity, which knows no distinction between Jew and Gentile. As the cross proves them alike sinful and lost, so the gospel meets them alike where they are, and proclaims the same one to be Lord of all, and rich unto all that call upon him. So now there is no distinction, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. With that in view, you look at the first eight verses of the chapter and you'll find here the preparation of the man called Cornelius, a Gentile, of course. I want you to take note of the position he occupied. Then we'll note the piety he manifested and the prayer he offered. We mention these things to show the character of the man. Now, I want to draw attention to something else. Away back in chapter 8, you will remember the gospel was taken by a man called Philip and preached to the people of Samaria. In that same chapter, Philip left Samaria, went away down on the road that went from Jerusalem away down to Gaza, and there he met an Ethiopian. And he preached the word to him, and he was converted. So we had one taken from amongst the Samaritans, who were looked upon as a kind of mongrel race. And then we saw one who was of the descendants of Ham. And then when we came to chapter 9, there was the record of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a descendant of Shem. So we've seen descendants of Shem and a descendant of Ham. Now when we come to chapter 10, here is the record of the gospel going out to those who were descendants of Japheth, Gentile nations. And so our attention is drawn now to this man called Cornelius. He was a man in a fairly high position, for he was a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Plain words, he was an officer in the Roman army. He was in charge of 100 men, and these men were stationed as a garrison in Caesarea. Caesarea was one of the centers for the Roman garrisons. And so he was the man, the officer, who was in charge of that garrison of 100 men. That's why he's called a centurion. But in verse 2 we're told that he was a devout man. That is, he manifested a certain measure of piety. He was devout. He worshipped God. That is, to the best of his knowledge and according to the light he had. Now the question may be raised, where did he obtain this knowledge? How much light did he have? Now, having been brought up, of course, in Italy, in the days of the Roman power, he hadn't yet heard the gospel. But he sent over as a Roman soldier with a certain measure of responsibility, and he stationed over there in the land of Palestine. Now, while there, no doubt, the man had heard regarding the Jewish form of religion. The man knew that there was a living God, and according to the measure of the light he had received, to the best of his knowledge, that man was worshipping God. He feared God with all his house. He was a man who was giving away some of his money. He was giving alms to the people. That is, he saw people around him who were in need, and he thought that perhaps he might do something. So the only thing he could think of was to give away some of his money to help the poor. There's nothing wrong with that. But my friend, helping the poor is not going to buy salvation for you. It's a good thing to do that, but men are not saved because of their good works. He was a man who exercised a great amount of piety. Not only did he give away some of his money to the poor, but he was a man who prayed to God always. So according to the knowledge he had, he was prepared to pray. Now the question is often asked, does God hear the prayers of non-Christians? Well, it all depends on what interpretation you place upon the idea of praying. You see, there are quite a number of things associated with prayer. This man, for all we know, may have been praying the sinner's prayer. That is, he's crying to God for help. Nothing wrong with that. God be merciful to me, the sinner. He's crying to God. He's praying. He's acknowledging God. And might I say, a man will never be saved until, first of all, he acknowledges God. If a man does not believe there is a God and is not prepared to acknowledge the living God, that man will never be saved. He was a man then who had something of the fear of God in his heart. He feared God. He was prepared to pray. Now it's to that man that God comes. You see, he offered his prayer. And it appears that he was a man with habitual methods in prayer. And also associated with his prayers, there was fasting. But now, God in high heaven knew about this man. Again, I remind you that in this chapter we're seeing something of the purposes of God. The Spirit of God is dealing directly with this man. And the time comes when God makes a direct approach to this man. Now remember, the man didn't have a Bible like what you have and I have. Didn't have the New Testament, it wasn't written. The man hadn't heard the gospel. And so because he hadn't heard the gospel, and he didn't have a Bible, and he was a Gentile, nobody had come to preach to him. God's going to prepare this man, and he's also going to prepare Peter. So the two of them will be brought together, and the man will hear the message. And he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying to him, Cornelius. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? Said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Now here a man gets a direct message. But then, here's an interesting thing, my friend. I ask you this. If this man wanted to know the way of salvation, and he's definitely praying for help, God sends an angel, and the angel tells him to go and send for Peter. Now, I'll ask you this simple question if you've never thought of it. Why didn't the angel tell Peter the way of salvation? I'm sure the angel knew the way of salvation. He knew about the Savior. Now, why didn't the angel tell this man, Cornelius, the way of salvation? Well, that's not the way that God does it. Here again, we're finding the purposes of God. Now, angels were never commissioned to preach the gospel. The commission to preach the gospel was given to men. It was men who were possessed of the Holy Spirit. Men who were given the commission to go and make disciples of all nations. Men were to preach the gospel. This is God's purpose. This is God's method. By human lips, the message will be proclaimed and will fall upon human ears. No, the angel doesn't proclaim the gospel. If you think God's going to send an angel to tell you the way of salvation, to convince you, my friend, there's no need. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and that word is to be proclaimed by human lips to human ears and down into human hearts. And so when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. When he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. So the man has been prepared. God has prepared the man. He's come to the point where he's ready to hear the word. But now the great difficulty is this: will Peter be willing to tell this man the way of salvation? Now remember, Peter was an Orthodox Jew, and Peter was bound up with the traditions of his nation. But says someone, hadn't he become a Christian? Yes, perfectly true, he had become a Christian. But there were some things that Peter hadn't learned at this time. God was about now to deal with Peter, and Peter was to go beyond the confines of Judaism. He was to go even beyond the confines of the Samaritans. Here now he's to go and preach the message to an outsider, a Gentile. Would Peter be prepared to do it? Now verse 9 says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Now Peter is going up, this is about midday, and he's praying. It's at that time that Peter has his vision. He sees this large sheet with all kinds of animals in it and fowls. And the voice says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Now remember, Peter was hungry. Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. You see how Peter was so tied up with the traditions of his nation. He says, I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Now you see, the Jews were very particular as to what they ate, and very particular as to how it was killed and how they would eat it, how they would prepare it. Not only so, do you realize that they looked upon Gentiles as being unclean? They were unclean dogs. So therefore, why should Peter have anything to do with Gentiles? Now, as the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Now, this was done three times. The vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, think of this vision given to Peter. There was a lesson of the vision, and the lesson was this: what God hath cleansed, you must not continue to treat as common or unclean. Christianity must break the barriers of Jewish tradition. Here was a man who was a Gentile, living up in Caesarea. How long he'd be there, it was difficult to tell, because his garrison could be moved away again and back to another place very soon. Here was Peter's opportunity. The man was willing to hear. Was Peter willing to preach? You know, my friend, we must face the challenge. You cannot take the gospel and confine it to a particular nation. You cannot take the gospel and confine that message to some particular ethnic group. Now remember this: Christ died in order to save sinners. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He's a savior who saves from sin. Whether the man is a Gentile or a Jew or a Samaritan, no matter what his ethnic group may be, that person needs to be saved. And God saves them not because of who they are or what they are. He saves them as sinners. Sinners need to know the way of salvation. Do not be calling them common or unclean, whom God hath cleansed. Now right at that time, these men that were coming for Peter arrived at the gate. They inquired if Peter was there. Now while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? Now it's at that point where they make known to him that their master has sent, and why he has sent for them. Now says Peter, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Now you see, Peter obeys the word of the Lord, and he comes to Cornelius. He arrives at the house. Now then, Cornelius is there, and Peter is come. And the man says, Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. I like that. See, God has prepared his two men. He has prepared Cornelius, and Cornelius says, Now here we are. We're all here present. I've gathered them all together in my house. And we're here before God. Not before Peter, mark you, before God. And we're here for this purpose. We want to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. In plain words, Peter, we want you to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Now, it's at this point then, the two men have been prepared. God has prepared Cornelius. God has prepared Peter. Peter is prepared to be obedient to the word of the Lord, and Cornelius with the others in his house are prepared to listen to everything that God has commanded. My friend, whenever a situation like that arises, you can rest assured there's going to be a work of God, a work that will stand. There's no need here for any gimmicks. The Spirit of God has been moving with these men. One is prepared to listen, and the other is prepared to speak. Now at verse 34 then of the chapter, then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Here then, from verse 33 really to the end of the chapter, we have the preaching of the message. Notice the people then who listened. Cornelius had collected his friends and the household together. They were ready to listen to the word of the Lord through Peter. You know, I've often said a service can be carried on without a preacher, but it's no use a preacher carrying on a service without an audience. But you see, we have both an audience here with the ready ear and the ready heart, the ready to listen. And you have a preacher prepared of God, full of the Holy Spirit, ready to preach. And so Peter presents his message. I want you to notice the person who was presented in the message. Here's what he says. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. He starts now to preach peace, and he starts to preach peace by Jesus Christ, the Lord. Now let me remind you of that well-known verse, Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the first thing that men and women need. They need to have peace with God. And there can only be peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that comes to us by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see how when some people try to tell us that Peter preached a different gospel from Paul, that isn't true. Both Peter and Paul complemented one another with the gospel that they preached. They both presented Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they both preached peace through Jesus Christ. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Now watch, he's presenting the person of Jesus Christ in this message. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. That was at the time of his baptism, you remember, when he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit came down upon him. He anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, says Peter, we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Now notice, not only does he tell of the Lord Jesus Christ as to his incarnation, and as to the time of his baptism, so to speak, and his public ministry, he hurries right on to show how the Lord was crucified. He says, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. But now, he goes right on to the main, crucial, critical point of all apostolic preaching, how God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Plain words, he hurries from the life to the death and to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. You see how he makes much of the resurrection. You see, he mentions not only the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he tells of the power that was manifested, how the Holy Spirit came upon him. Now, this moves on to this point. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Now notice that. And this is the critical point of his preaching. He shows how it's the person of Jesus Christ who is the very center and circumference of the gospel. He tells of the power that Christ manifested in life. He also shows how he was rejected and crucified, but how he was raised again from the dead. These are the basic truths of the gospel, and how the message was to be declared to all and sundry, and it was to be preached to the nations, not only to the Jews, but to the nations, and that whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And so the message is sent out to whosoever will, Jew or Gentile, Greek or Roman, Samaritan or Ethiopian, no matter. Whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. That's as far as he needed to go, because it's obvious now that these men had accepted the message. They had accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Look very carefully now. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. And may I suggest to all my listeners today, this is a basic text for us in this day and generation. When a man or a woman believes, remember at that moment they receive the Spirit of God. When my all I ventured, said the hymn writer, when my all I ventured on the atoning blood, the Holy Spirit entered and I was born of God. That hymn writer knew something of the truth of this verse. While they yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the words. See, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And they of the circumcision which believed, why? And they were astonished. Now notice afterward, there was a public confession. Peter first of all challenged his own people if they could forbid baptism. Then he commanded the Gentile believers to be baptized.